Welcome to the MS News Today podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell, and I also have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. I am a columnist with MS News Today at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Welcome to the Multiple Sclerosis podcast. I am your host, Jen Powell. Joining us today is Nancy Davis. Nancy Davis is a woman on a mission. The Denver-born Californian has dedicated her life to her children, husband, and making the world a better place. She is a jewelry and clothing designer, author, and she has spent the past many years dedicating her life to finding a cure for multiple sclerosis and helping those battling drug addiction. In 1991, at the age of 33, Nancy was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and was facing the battle of her life. She was told by doctors that she would be lucky to retain the ability to merely operate a remote control on her television. However, she realized she was too young and had a lot more to do in her life. 2 years later, she founded Race to Erase MS, an organization dedicated to funding innovative and successful methods of eliminating multiple sclerosis and helping others. Her fundraising began with a gala held at an intimate ski getaway weekend in Aspen, and since its inception, Race to Erase MS has grown into an annual celebrity benefit that has gained the support of many key individuals in the entertainment and fashion industries. And to date, the Race to Erase MS has raised over $55 million for multiple sclerosis research. Her fundraising efforts have made a huge impact on the fight to combat the illness. When Nancy first started her journey, there were no known cures or drugs on the market to treat individuals suffering from MS. Her foundation has funded scientific discoveries, and in March of 2017, it was critical in the development of Ocrevus, the 15th drug designed to stop the progression of MS, and there are many more treatments being developed every day. Nancy's work has gained the attention of notable people. In 2002, she held the Race to Erase Gala with Tommy Hilfiger. As a thank you gift to performers at the event, Seal Award, Donna Summer, Natalie Cole were given necklaces bearing a powerful symbol. The event was a success and sparked the creation of Peace and Love Jewelry by Nancy Davis. As chief designer of Peace and Love, her iconic pieces are worn by the likes of Halle Berry, Brooke Shields, Nicole Richie, Paris and Nikki Hilton, Sharon and Kelly Osbourne, and Avril Lavigne, Tommy Hilfiger, Bill Maher, Don Henley, and Elton John, among others. Another meaningful cause that is dear to Nancy's heart is Cure Addiction Now. This organization is dedicated to the understanding, treatment, and cure of drug addiction. This organization works to remove the stigma of the disease while linking together multidisciplinary scientific and medical organizations and expertise to advance the understanding and the causes of addiction. Welcome to the MS Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
Oh, it's such a privilege to have you with us. And I want to jump right in because I know while most people might know you from your organization, Race to Erase MS, you were diagnosed with MS at the age of 31, yet your diagnosis came as a result of a ski accident. Tell me about it.
Yes, I was skiing in Aspen. I fell, I tore my ACL, had a knee brace, and 3 weeks later, I woke up one day and I lost the feeling on the three fingertips of my right hand, and they just wouldn't wake up. And so I kept shaking my hands. 3 days later, I lost the feeling in my entire right hand. Exactly 3 days later, I lost the feeling in the fingertips of my left hand. So I called the doctor, and I was wearing a knee brace. So I figured the knee brace was maybe cutting off my circulation or something like that. And my doctor said, absolutely not. You need to go have an MRI. And I thought, well, that's typical. You know, the orthopedic doctor's not taking accountability for, you know, whatever he's doing to me. So then 3 days later, I lost the feeling in my entire left hand. And I did go to to get an MRI, and then 3 days later, I had double vision. I couldn't see very well, and every 3 days it seemed to be that I was losing another, sense of feeling in my body. It was just very peculiar. I had an MRI, and very quickly they told me I had MS, which was pretty unusual that many years ago. It was pretty frustrating. And at that time, I went to the doctor the next day, and he basically told me, he goes, "You have a disease called multiple sclerosis. There is no known cause, no cure, no drugs on the market, and there's really, nothing that you can do." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh." Yes. Okay. So anyway, he told me there's really nothing I could do. And I don't know, it was just kind of devastating. And I was a young mom with three children, not in a very good marriage. And I started reading everything I could get on MS. There was so little to read. There was so little out there. They'd done some studies, all of which ended up, not being good studies. They did not work out. And I went to get a second opinion about a week later at NIH. And I thought, gosh, if I go get enough second opinions, somebody in fact will tell me I don't have MS, because I certainly didn't want to have MS. And I thought, sometimes doctors get it wrong, and maybe if I, look really hard. So I went there, and again, they confirmed that, I definitively had MS. And then I went to many other doctors and got second opinions. And I figured, if I go to enough of them, someone's going to tell me, I don't have MS, because it wasn't where I wanted to be in my life. And the things I was reading were so incredibly negative about the quality of a life I could ever have, having MS, and I couldn't be a mother to my children. That was everything to me. And they said, "Oh, you'll never walk again. You'll never, do anything other than maybe being able to operate the remote control on your TV set." And I'm like, wow. I mean, I was 33, and I'm like, how did my life just fall apart to have such a meaningless, life for, forever? And I'm kind of that girl who has like a lot of energy. I bless her spiel, because I always have to have a project going on. And I thought, wow, this is just awful. And I just couldn't imagine it. So I went and got many second opinions, went to some of the best doctors in the country. I was very fortunate that I could do that. And everyone told me I had it. I listened to the research, however, that they were doing at every one of these fabulous centers. This was Harvard. This was Yale. This was Johns Hopkins. This was the Cleveland Clinic. USC, UC San Francisco, UCLA. I talked to many doctors, and I listened to the research that was going on. It was fascinating to me that every one of the really good doctors was doing identical research studies as each other. And when I would tell them that, the people at Harvard, "Oh, they're doing that at Yale, or they're doing that at Johns Hopkins," they're like, you're not a doctor. You have no idea what you're talking about. I said, "I have exactly an idea what I'm talking about. I'm a terrified person who just took my whole independence and my future away. I'm listening to every single word, and this is crazy." So this little light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, wow, if I could put the best and the brightest doctors to work as a team to never duplicate research, but to constantly communicate, we're going to come up with a cure quicker. And everybody told me that was an awful idea, but to me, it made, all the sense in the world. Like, they're telling me I have a very unpopular disease, and they're saying there's not enough people who have MS that it would even be, advantageous for a drug company to want to develop a drug, because it was an orphan disease and not enough people had it. It wouldn't be profitable. So I thought, well, that just can't be. There's other people like me, and I that just can't be. You can't sit there and say, because I have this disease, they're telling me is impossible to find a cure, impossible to find any medications or treatments other than taking steroids. What can I do? I didn't want to take steroids, because my sister was a juvenile diabetic, and there was a high propensity for me becoming diabetic also, which I thought, well, I don't need to add another layer to what's already happening in my life that I'm trying to digest. So I put together a team called the Center Without Walls a long time ago. I think it was very virtual before its day. We have had our events in LA every year. We just had our 31st Race to Race MS this past May.
Congratulations.
And the exciting thing is there's now 25 drugs on the market to help stop the progression of MS. With this terrible orphan disease that there would never be a, a cure or any way to treat it. It's so exciting, to see where we are today. We don't have a cure. However, we have amazing drugs that are saving a lot of people's lives. And especially if you're diagnosed and you get on one of these things early, there's a lot of medications can help stop the progression of MS, which is incredibly important. We sit there every year funding really amazing research studies, and I guess I'm always frustrated because I want to find a cure already and move on. But to see where we are for newly diagnosed people, it's a godsend that these medicines exist. I mean, they just do. You have to find the right medication for you. But the drugs that that suppress your B cells, when this idea first came to us, we were talking with Dr. Stephen Hauser at UC San Francisco, and I loved the study. It just made all the sense in the world because we'd had a lot of medicines that he had helped, sponsor and be part of, but they were not working as well. They were working for 40% of the people. They were causing people to be very depressed. They were making them have flu-like symptoms. It was reversing what was already going in your body. So the idea of the B cell therapy, and we didn't know at the beginning what is the mechanism that starts the MS to happen. So what became very apparent when your B cells are elevated, it creates the whole chain that starts the MS and your T cells attacking each other and creating this thing that we don't know how to cure. So if we could stop it before it starts, technically that would be a miracle. And that study took about 10 years to really, to happen and come to fruition. And it was really through Dr. Stephen Hauser. And there were some times that it looked bleak and it wasn't going anywhere. And it thought that we would get nowhere, but everyone persevered. And today it is the gold standard. It's obviously not correct for everybody. There's different people that can't take certain things. You have to go to the doctor and do all the blood work or the different things and take their advice about what is correct for you. But it's helped a huge percentage of people who wouldn't have been helped before. So it's very exciting. We're very driven today to figure out how to help everybody else. And we're trying to help people with chronic progressive, primary progressive MS, and figuring out ways of remyelinating and restoring nerve damage. And that's the big question. We have invested in so many research studies, and they have not come up with the perfect thing. And so I'm very frustrated, and we keep pushing very hard. And I know we will get there. And we have, a brilliant, brilliant team of doctors that we work with. And every year we constantly challenge them to find new ways and think outside of the box and do brand new things that they have never even dreamed of doing, because that's how we got, where we got in the first place with, medicines like Ocrevus and Kesimpta and all the different medicines. And it's never one size fits all. No two people have the same exact MS. The lesions are different for everybody else. The progression is different. But we are bound and determined to, cross that finish line in the very near future and celebrate finding a cure for multiple sclerosis.
My goodness, I have so much respect and admiration for what you've created because you did it against the prevailing winds of conjecture and doctors telling you, nope, not going to look good. Nope, not going to work. Yet your cumulative approach with the Center Without Walls, which is getting the doctors to work together on and bring their research together instead of be duplicating one another's research in autonomous ways. It speaks to the merit of working toward the center goal of curing MS and putting the great minds together. And that
Right.
seems like a very unique model.
It's a huge waste of money for doctors not to talk. And it used to be that doctors were very territorial with their research. And we do not fund doctors if they don't come to the table and share. And that's what it's all about. In the beginning, everybody has a great study, but they're working in a vacuum. When you can come for our different symposiums that we bring all the doctors here as a team, which is we have one coming up next month, which is very exciting. And they meet for an entire day, and then the next day they do a public forum, and people are invited to come to that too. And it's very, very exciting what happens. And to watch the synergy of what happens in a room when the young doctors, the old doctors collaborate. Young doctors, we always fund these young investigators awards every year. We find very good young doctors, and they've been in medical school forever. They're graduating with these low student loans of like $250,000, and there's no chance that they're going to get that job. And we want to find the best of the best ones, and we want to give them that job. We want to fund their research studies, and we want to give them that leg up in life. We have done that with many of our doctors who were very junior, and now they're getting a little more senior along the way because we've been doing this for over 30 years. But we really seek out those doctors. And I know a lot of the younger doctors who have such great admiration for some of the older doctors, which is amazing because there's much to be admired. And they love to work hand in hand with them at the different centers. So we look at that every year, and we make these rewards of for monies that we raise at our charity events, raise to raise MS. And it's really important for us to, keep the steady stream of raising as much money as is humanly possible and funding the best possible research that we can, because, it's called the race to erase MS. We are in a hurry. And I feel grateful that we have accomplished as much as we have, because I mean, to think every year when you look at any other disease, they don't get FDA approval on a new medicine every year. We do. I'm not responsible for all of those, but our doctors have been involved with most all of them in some capacity. And it's very exciting to be, part of this whole entire exciting dream team of doctors that is changing the world of MS and forging a new future and changing that for anybody who's going to be diagnosed today. There's so much hope. And but I guess my overriding promise is, how do we help the people that have it now? How do they live a better quality of life? What can we do? And we're looking at, options. We fund really amazing things every year. They just got FDA approval on another drug that's related to Ocrevus, a different way, a different delivery system of giving it to you in like a 10-minute infusion versus the really long infusion at an infusion center. That's pretty exciting. That just happened. That just happened like last week. So, there's always something new. And in the beginning, everyone says, well, there's not enough people that have MS at any drug company is going to find it profitable or worth it to do this. Well, they're making billions of dollars. That's fine. As long as people are living a better quality of life, that's all that matters. And so it's our job to fund these basic science research studies. We find them in their infancy, in the very, very beginning. And we keep doing it. And we've had, amazing success, but not enough, because we haven't cured every single person who has MS. So once we do, then we can stop.
So you
But
kind
right
of
now,
want to be out of business.
we'd
That's your
like to, we'd
goal.
love, yeah, I would love to be out of business. I really would. It's my passion ever since I was diagnosed. And I run another charity too for addiction. I had a son who had an addiction problem, and he always was so supportive of Race to Race MS. He would come to the meetings and he would question the doctors endlessly. He goes, well, why does my mom still have MS? You're not doing enough. You're not doing enough things. Why does she have to suffer from this? And anyway, he was a real Pied Piper. He used to try to go into our kitchen and make these potions with, he put Worcestershire sauce and, mustard, a little, red food dye, yogurt, and whatever. He'd stir it. He goes, Mom, try this. You gotta try this. This is gonna cure your MS. I'm like, oh my God, this tastes horrible. But he was so passionate about helping me. So one day he came to me, my son Jason Davis, and he said, Mom, I have an addiction problem. And I knew he did. And he goes, this 12-step program, AA, is not working for me. In fact, it only works for 7% of the people. We need to find some basic science doctors and basic science research and find actual cures to deal with people's cravings, and making it affordable for absolutely every person who has addiction to be able to get sober, to go to rehab, to do whatever it is. And we need to create a vaccine. We need to do things to help stop this, because it's affecting, like, I think it's 48 million people, where versus with MS, it's more like 2 million people. And every person who has any illness is incredibly important. We have to help all of them. But the amounts of people that suffer from addiction, it's so bad. So I started this charity called Cure Addiction Now with my son, Jason. And I'm working, hard on that every day, but completely stealing everything that we've done with MS, because it has worked so well. And even in bringing all of our doctors together, when we started this, which was during COVID, they didn't understand the importance of and magic of doctors and the synergy that goes on when all the best of the best doctors are in a room together for like 2 days. Something happens, and that's the magic that has happened for Race to Race MS. We have a dream team of brilliant doctors, and we are getting there, and we will get there. We just need to get there faster, in my opinion. And doing the same thing with Cure Addiction Now, and following that, my son loved, and it was always such a part of Race to Race MS. And we're using the same philosophy of getting the best of the best doctors in our country to work as a team. Doctors need to communicate. There's this huge sense of competition that exists in the medical world, and people don't realize that that's what's going on, but it is. And so we feel like every doctor should help each other. Everybody finds different tidbits of information. They're seeing different patients. They have different experiences with different medicines. So it's really important that we understand what is going on. And so we're doing it with both. But I'm very thrilled with where we are today with MS. And I know there's so much to still conquer, and we will.
There is, yet you've come so far, even mentioning where when you were diagnosed or even 10 years after, or when I was diagnosed 15 years ago, I did not have access to Ocrevus or a more aggressive disease modifying therapy. There was a stepping stone of which I believe had I had access, maybe I wouldn't have gotten to the progressive nature that I am now. So I think that in your ability to pursue and push research forward, you've come across other discoveries such as that. I mean, when you come together with the physicians together working as one, you often come to find things you never knew that would help in different ways. You did mention that you have a webinar where the doctors get together, and that's live and a webinar. I wanted to just see because I would love people to know about that.
Yes, we are going to have a webinar. I'm going to look up the date while I'm talking to you because I'm not good at remembering things at this point in my life. But
I'll put it in your episode as well.
Yes, you'll put it in. So we have one coming up, and it's going to be, you know, all the doctors are flying in from all over the country. And there's the first day that they're here, they just meet together. And then after that, we do this amazing, you know, webinar, and people can actually come in person to the Fairmont Century Plaza Hotel in Los Angeles and attend this. And it's a really rather exciting thing that's happening, and to see the synergy of what's going on. Here's the date of it. It is Saturday, October 26th.
Thank you. I encourage people to.
I believe at 9 a.m. in the morning. And
Thank
so
you.
At the center.
That. I and think
we
it's
can, important. We can send you further information that we will have. But we have the doctors will meet on the 25th. And then the next day, we'll do the symposium. And people can attend it online. They can ask questions. They can send questions ahead of time or while it's going on. And we're pretty good about, you know, trying to get all the doctors to answer. And you'll see there's the most brilliant doctors from all over the country who really have a different subset of what they are working on within MS. They all are very focused in what they're doing, but we love bringing them together to work together as a team, because a lot happens when you have the best group together. It's magic.
Absolutely. And I encourage people to get involved in their knowledge of research and what's going on, because it does add a measure of hope and a measure of vested interest. How do you stay? Well, we all know MS is difficult some days. The days can be trying. You're a philanthropist. You're a very busy woman. You do a number entrepreneur. You've got multiple foundations. How do you stay balanced with this disease?
You know, I feel like I've done this for a while, and I feel like doing my charity work gives me purpose in life. there's a great conversation about when you find purpose in life, the PIL, your purpose in life versus taking your PILLS. It's a great medicine. And I believe when I wake up every day, I need to be positive. I say prayers every morning, and then I list at least 10 and usually 20 things every day that I'm grateful for. And it's really easy to get negative and depressed and sad, and everybody does have the right to, but it doesn't help you in the long run. You have to think positive, and sometimes it's hard to take an inventory of what really is good in your life when things are difficult. But I think every day I make myself do that, and I list the things, and I sort of say them to myself. And I mean, one thing every day that I'm grateful for is my health and that I'm standing. There was a lot of times that I, you know, couldn't stand up. And when I was first diagnosed, I remember my feet were numb, and I would, you know, try to get out of bed in the morning. And my feet were like tingling, and I took that minute, and it made me feel nervous. Am I going to be okay? And today, when I can stand up and put my feet on the side of my bed and feel my feet and stand up and not sort of pass out, I feel very, very grateful. I always thank God for that moment every day, because I know that that's, you know, something I can't take it for granted. And while we are good today, whatever is good in your life, your health, your family, different things that have happened, different relationships, people you love, good things happening. Just, even living where I live, I look outside every day, and I'm grateful that I have this beautiful, view. And look, I can just look out, and I live in, we have beautiful weather here in California, obviously, compared to a lot of places. But I think you have to make yourself become aware of what is good in your life, as opposed to everything that's bad. When you have an illness, of course, there's a lot of things to worry about. But when you manifest the negativity, you become sicker.
Yeah.
When you manifest positivity, you make that your important thing. And so every day, I think what keeps me going is I need a purpose in life. I need more PILs and not PILS. I need to have a purpose in life. And I get very excited when, new things are happening, and we have meetings, and just getting phone calls from somebody who's doing well because of something we had something to do with along the way. It makes me feel, euphoric. It just does. So that's how I survive through all this. And I think once you start doing a lot of charity work, and on the days when there's nothing going on, you feel kind of like something's missing. You feel like you're like bored, and it just doesn't feel good. And you sometimes you just sit there seeking out, like, okay, what different things can I do? Maybe I'm bored today because I'm going to find read something new and find something new that might make a huge difference. And when you do, that feels amazing.
I love that message. I think it's crucial for everybody to find a purpose. I think it really helps elevate our ability to get out of our head and get out of our own way and really serving humanity in a way that we can, that maybe we didn't know we could. I think it's easy to get stuck in the suck. And
It is.
it's okay to have a suck day. We all do. But then to move on from
Go
that and get and see what you do have in front of you. I love that message and I ascribe to it. Thank you. Talk a little bit about a race to erase MS. We've all seen the pictures and the astounding gala and how beautiful it is, but you've raised a phenomenal amount of money for MS.
We have. I mean, we started off in Aspen. I did a ski race with Chrysler on the Pro Ski Tour back in the day, and it was a smaller event. But each year we've sort of grown differently. It was in Aspen for 2 years, 1 year in Vail, then we brought it to LA. 1 year was actually in Las Vegas, but ever since that, it has been in Los Angeles. And we keep growing, and we're excited to do this event. It's a lot of work. It's an enormous amount of work, but it's a lot of fun. And I think we've been so lucky to have so much support from the Hollywood community from day one. Even when it was in Aspen, everybody flew up to Aspen, even in terrible snowstorms. And we had our events there, and then we've had them here. And every year, we're so very fortunate. Different fabulous, singers, entertainers come, introduce people, sing, entertain, comedians, everything. We're so incredibly lucky and fortunate that we have been able to do that.
Well, I love the sense of community you've created around that, and it's really amazing to see the things that have come as a result of that. If I can ask you, knowing what you know now, what would you tell your newly diagnosed self? I think you pretty much did it already, is just move and do it, but what would you tell them?
An interesting question. What I tell my newly diagnosed self, I would say there's hope, and don't listen to all the naysayers, and don't live down to a negative prognosis that a doctor gives you who doesn't have the time of day to spend with you. And I would say I was hopefully optimistic, and I was getting a lot of advice that wasn't very good, and things they were telling me to do. I think more than anything in that day and age, there was not a great understanding, and there were not medications. But I dealt with it the way I dealt with it. I went to a homeopathic doctor, which horrifies many of my other doctors to this day, but I still go to a homeopathic doctor. And that's the thing that helps me the most. And you have to stick up for yourself. You can't be intimidated by any doctor. The doctors who are really negative in your life, you got to get rid of them. The art of a second opinion, I think, is one of the best things I could have ever done, and that I was able to do that and go to other doctors gave me a very different vision and purpose of what my MS was going to do, look like, and how I was going to get better. And no doctor has the tarot cards to tell you exactly what's going to happen with your MS. That just doesn't exist. And I think you have to be part of your success plan and getting better. And the more positive you are, and the more research that you do, and the more questions you ask, the better you can be. I wrote a book a long time ago, Lean on Me, and it was really the 12 steps to getting better through with MS, and how to there's things about homeopathic, it's about when we go to a doctor, the importance of when we go to a doctor, how do we be prepared for our doctor's appointment? I think we all go to a doctor, we feel it takes a long time sometimes to get in the doctor, it's expensive, whatever, you can't get in with them. And then you get in there, but you have to be on stage the second you walk in there. You have to be ready for your performance. You have to write down a list of things that you want to ask that doctor, and you need to think about it for a whole week before you get there and write them down every day. And make sure that you don't leave that doctor's office until every question is answered. Now, we all think that the doctor should do that and know better, but they're human people. They have everything going on in their life. They have a million patients. They're getting on to the next patient after you. They're thinking about this thing, I think. They're thinking about their home life. So you need to go in there, and they want to do a good job for you, but they can't read your mind. They don't know exactly everything that's happened and what you're thinking. And you don't even know what you're thinking. Sometimes you only remember something that happened the day before, but you might not remember a week before you had this question. But write those questions down for a week. So when you go in, you have a very fulfilling appointment with your doctor, and don't walk out and don't leave until every question is answered.
Absolutely love that. Oftentimes, I'll keep my journal out a couple weeks before my appointment because I do forget what happened 2 weeks ago and how it was pivotal. And not because it wasn't pivotal, but simply because 40 more things happened. And that might be indicative of something happening. So we can often feel intimidated walking in or that they're hurried. So we feed off that. I love that. The collaborative doctors, the doctors that are there to work collaboratively are amazing, but it's always important to know that they're there to help us, and it's up to us to have that work in our favor.
Right. It's your body, and you can't
Body.
blame the doctor for not asking you a certain question. You have to blame yourself and be proactive and think about it ahead of time. And what, say, what do I want to get out of my appointment? Why did I make the appointment?
Yes,
And do I want this a
wonderful.
new medicine? Do I want to discuss this disability, how I could work this? I'm too tired. Whatever is happening in your life in that moment. And that doctor wants to do a good job for you generally. And they can't read your mind. And it's really pivotal for you to create the whole scenario of what that performance is going to be when you go to your doctor.
I think that's good advice across the board in life, actually. People aren't mind readers.
But I think it's good for every single doctor you could
I
possibly get.
agree 100% because you're going to get what you put in, and it's important to be your own best advocate. So I
Absolutely.
agree. Nancy Davis, it's been an absolute joy to have you today. May I just ask in closing, I know you mentioned the message you would give your former self, excuse me. I would love to have a message to leave our listeners.
I believe that it's very important for everybody who suffers from MS or who has a loved one with MS to think positive, to do your homework, to get second opinions, to read everything you can, and just know that, everybody's working hard to find a cure for this disease, but you have to be your own best advocate and get the best possible care you can. And, every day that you have on the earth is precious, and you need to try to make the most you can out of what's happening and be as positive as possible.
Thank you. I appreciate your time and having you for our listeners and for me on the Multiple Sclerosis Podcast, Nancy Davis. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back. And information about Race to Erase MS and Nancy Davis will be on this episode's description. This is the Multiple Sclerosis Podcast, and I'm your host, Jen Powell. Share your thoughts on this episode through social media. You can find MS News Today on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow us to keep updated on the latest news and to never miss new content and initiatives. Click the links in this episode's description.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.